Are here to celebrate Mother's Day. The lesson this morning I would title The Calling of Women. One of the basic truths to be kept in mind in study of the scripture is the thought of order. We see it written there by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. Family order he speaks about. God, in His wisdom, has determined that each part of His creation is fitted for a particular plan or place in the overall arrangement of His creation. And it behooves us to know this and live accordingly to this order that He speaks of in His creation. Such order is the basis for determining the right relationship between man and woman. They both have a place in God's purpose and plan because male and female created He them, each to their own purpose. Scripture reveals the arrangement on a larger scale, not just on this man and woman scale, but on a larger scale, there's this order that goes through God's creation. For example, angels are there in the hierarchy next to the Son, Christ Jesus, and are seen to be messengers and ministers of God. They are particularly associated with Israel. They were there at the giving of the law. They figure prominently in the second coming of Christ. They are mentioned frequently in the parts of Scripture where Israel is dominant. They have a definite place. It's quite obvious that there is an order and a season to their existence and their position in God's creation. Next, we find in that order principalities and powers. These beings are seen in their relationship to Christ as head over all things, Christ being far above all principality and power, the head of all principality and power. These beings are associated with the heavenly places. And we read about that, of course, there in Ephesians, the third chapter, and other places. And by the way, one of the responsibilities of the church of the one body is to minister to these principalities and powers in heavenly places. An example we are to them as members of the one body. Finally, we come to mankind in relationship to this creation and God's plan. Mankind was given dominion over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Mankind, male and female, are included in this mankind, were to subdue the earth. The Hebrew word actually is kabash. It means to subdue, and has the connotation of to keep under control, this word kabash. Mankind to keep under control what God created in earth, suggesting the possibility that if mankind did not, that disorder rather than order would ensue. We know what happened. Back in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, we find where sin entered. Satan comes on the scene, says, I will be like the Most High. I will be exalted above the Most High. And when God's order is defiled, Satan putting himself even above God in the order of things, tragedy always occurs. We're still seeing the effects of that today. And it also is occurring this between men and women in our culture today. Now, the organizational chart that you would see if you put together a chart, probably in God's organization, you put together a chart, we would find everyone would point to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Three aspects of God's order are revealed in this verse, the third verse. The relationship between men and women is touched upon. Let me read it. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Thus it is seen that each part of the creation, the Creator Himself, Christ, has a position and a part to play in God's arrangements. Now, ladies, stay with me, because there's been too much confusion as a result of this verse to indicate that women are not equal to man. And if you dig a little bit deeper, that simply is not true. Therefore, we do need to dig a little bit deeper this morning with regard to this verse that is so often misread, misunderstood. There is an important distinction to be made. One, a distinction is to be made between man and woman as individuals, and man and woman with respect to their position. It is because this distinction has not been made in times past that so much confusion has risen as to the equality of women with men, and the disregard for God's instruction with regard to women and their exalted position. You see, the position of Scripture is not that man is superior to woman, but that he has been given a different position in this organizational chart. An example of that would be if you look at the Redmond Company, and Tim and I are both working there in the Redmond Company. If you look at the organizational chart, you find me listed above Tim as the CEO and him as the CFO, Chief Financial Officer. I am not better. Only my position on this chart is a different position as head, nothing to do with the equality of Tim to myself. As a matter of fact, Tim is better looking than me. He has a master's degree. I only have a BBA degree, so he's smarter than I am, you know. And besides that, he listens to Keisha. You could tell that by his honey-do list he's got to do while she's not here today. And the same thing is true. Rosemary's up there above me. I listen to her. It's not got anything to do with equality. It has to do with purpose, priorities, responsibilities, and a proper understanding of the position given by God to man and woman will clarify the equality question. However, to appreciate the distinction of the position, it is necessary to first look at the original creation. There's two creation records there in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. The first is the account of the creation of man, belongs to chapter 1, referred to in chapter 2 as the generation of heaven and the earth. The second account there in chapter 2, referred to in chapter 5, is a look at the generations of Adam. So the generations of heaven and earth and the generations of Adam. In the first account, it is only noted that God created mankind and called them both, by the way, Adam. I never did quite pick up on that, but he referred to them both, we'll call them Adam. That was the first thing I ran into. But in the second, that Adam was formed and Eve for him as, and we've covered this before, as a help meet. And that meet is so often thought of as being mate, and that is not the case. Not a help mate. That word meet is a corresponding part, equal in purpose and equal for a purpose. So the female is not a help mate. She is a necessary part that is equal to Adam himself in her responsibilities in God's plan. Interesting. Everything else was formed of the dust except Eve. Everything was formed of the dust. But Eve from Adam, giving them equal human DNA. She could in no way be unequal. She wasn't formed of the dust. She was formed from Adam. God created him. Mankind referred to both male and female as Adam. And Eve, therefore, comes forth with the DNA of mankind. The scripture's reason for the creation of woman is made clear in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Let me read it. It says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a help like unto himself." Help for what? You see, Adam was incomplete for the purpose of God. It wasn't necessarily that he was lonely, but it was not good for him to be alone because he couldn't do what God wanted and needed to have done. He was missing the other corresponding part. And the peculiar calling of woman cannot be properly understood apart from her relationship to man. Man is worthless to God's purpose and calling without her. It just would never work. By her peculiar calling, I mean her calling as a woman. Not, for example, her calling as a member of the body or her calling as a Christian. But she was originally built as a complement to the man, but because he was inadequate to the purpose at hand in himself is why she was created. He was missing 50%. He was only 50% as far as God's plan was concerned, and it took the other 50%. And 50 and 50 is equal in order for her responsibility and his responsibility to be complete. So, first commandment as a pair, Genesis, what was that? God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Fruitful, multiply, replenish refers to the production of seed. Both male and female are, of course, involved in this, but the burden falls on the woman. Here we see this special calling for the purpose of the ages, the calling of motherhood, as tied to the earthly purpose of God. Motherhood. Motherhood can't be done without. It is seen in the meaning of the word Eve herself. The word Eve means in the Hebrew life or life spring. In the earthly calling where Israel dominated, the production of a seed was of a prime importance. Israel was to be a great nation and included, among other things, numerical strength. Furthermore, the great honor which has been bestowed upon woman has been made known from the earliest time. We find it there in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 15. Let me read it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. Why was that necessary? Because she was carrying the promised seed. And there was no way there was going to be any abortion in that case. And when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Herein lies the great privilege and blessing of womanhood, to be the vehicle whereby the word of God would become flesh. Adam was helpless. He was equal to woman. She was equal to him. But without one another, God's plan could not proceed and go forward. And the whole world would one day be occupied, as well as these in heavenly places, with the seed of motherhood. Ladies, never underestimate your charge as it relates to the purpose and the plan of God. Never consider your position under man as inferior and unequal, because that simply is not true. Motherhood, it is the pinnacle of God's statement to the equality of women with men. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your love towards us. We're grateful to the female side of mankind. We're grateful for thy son that came and was born of woman, that we might have eternal life and forgiveness. We pray that we all would continue to rejoice in motherhood on this day. We thank you for the written word whereby we can have a greater understanding. Pray that we all would continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, and that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love as we depart. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.